Acts 24 through 27. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I first find time, I will summon you." And the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned.
Good morning. Glad to be here this morning. And I believe you're also glad to be here. Adam, thank you very much for the beautiful reading. You did a marvelous job. I think I'll just call you up here to preach my message. Yeah, you did a marvelous job, Adam. Thank you. God bless you. Whenever I see Adam, you know, my soul is inspired. Yeah, you know, looking at his age and giving his life to Jesus Christ at a tender age, you know, it just made me feel happy in my soul. Yeah, whenever I see him. So thank you. This morning, if you will, can we please stand for maybe 30 seconds and stretch ourselves? Thank you very much. I think it says this. If you can, not everybody, if you can. Mm-hmm. Okay, let us pray. Righteous Father in heaven, we glorify and honor you this morning for your word. We thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation through the blood of your dear Son. Lord, we pray, Father, as your word goes forth this morning, its desired aim will be accomplished. Lord, may you take all the glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have your seat. Thank you. This morning, we'll have our food for thought from the book of Acts. Acts of the Apostles. Some scholars will call it Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I think that should be the rightful title, because the Holy Spirit did a lot of work in that place, in the book of Acts. This morning, we'll be dwelling on what Adam read here from the book of Acts. That has to do with Governor Felix. Felix was a Roman governor. And he was appointed by the king, or let's say the emperor Claudius in those days. And he was a governor over that portion of the land. And according to our text in Acts 27, it said, after certain days, you know, he and his wife had been on a trip. Been visiting other areas, you know. As a governor, he had the privilege of traveling. And so, after some time, he came back. And after his return, he desired to hear the Apostle Paul. I don't know why he desired to hear the Apostle Paul, whether he desired to hear the gospel to be saved, or whether he desired to be entertained by the Apostle Paul because he was an eloquent speaker, because he knew the word of God, he knew the scriptures. I don't really know why he desired to hear the Apostle Paul, but the scripture tells us he desired to hear him. Probably to hear the good news to be saved. Praise the Lord. In verse 25, we are told here that as Paul was teaching him, preaching to him, he talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Looking at his own lifestyle, you know, he began to, you know, the Bible says he trembled and he cried out in the loud voice, "Well, Paul, I beg you, go away from me. When I find time, I will call you again." Hallelujah. My message this morning is very simple. The title of this message, "When I Find Time." When I find time. Felix said, "When you find time," I don't know whether you find time. When I find time, when I find a convenient time, when I find a good time, when I find a perfect time, Paul, I will call for you so you can preach the gospel to me. But at this moment, I'm tired of hearing it. Let me rest more when I find time. Brethren, we are in this world. This world that is going with a lot of problems, you know, as Mark told us this morning. I mean, a lot of chaos, a lot of problems, and what have you in this world. And sometimes you wish for the perfect society, you can't find it. But Felix said, when he finds time. Well, this message is a message of guilt. All of us here present, we are one way or the other guilty of this message. I who proclaiming this message, I'm also guilty. I must be bold with you. We all procrastinate one way or the other. Let me see one hand that is not guilty of procrastination in their whole lifespan. Somebody that has not procrastinated before in their lifetime. Maybe you are 50, you are 30, you are 35, you are 70. Can I just see one hand? Nobody. I'm not Adam. I came this morning when the Bible class already started. Isn't that procrastination? It is. And some people came after me, right? Hallelujah. Procrastination, yeah. We are all guilty, and some people came very early. I believe some people came before the class started. Isn't it so? Yes. We are all guilty one way or the other of procrastination. This is what Felix did. But when it comes to matters of eternal salvation, brethren, we have to do away with procrastination. Because there will come a time when there will be no more time. Hallelujah. When I find time. When I find time. Many of us are guilty of excuses. I mean, when you ask me to give some excuses for, you know, for not being here on time this morning, I'll give you, maybe I'll give you 1,000 excuses. Somebody may give their own excuses. Well, you know, I was styling my hair. And somebody said, well, I was finding the right shirt to wear this morning. And somebody might say, you know, well, I couldn't find my shoes. But you have 7 days in a week, right? To look for those shoes. 7 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then today is Sunday. Hallelujah. That my wife told me in the morning she couldn't find something. I can't find this thing. I didn't want to reply. I said, in my heart, I said, but why you didn't look for it on Saturday? Yeah. But I didn't tell her that. I said, in my heart, I said, well, you should have looked for that thing on Saturday. She couldn't find it. She couldn't find that. I said, well, we need to prepare before time. This is the point I'm making here. Praise the Lord. We put off a lot of things in our lives because we think we have time unlimited. We feel that time is so much that, you know, we pull off a lot of things. Oh, I will do it tomorrow. I will do that tomorrow. I will do this tomorrow.
But time is very short. I will go to that school tomorrow and earn that degree. I want to be a nurse. Well, you know what I mean? You know, the study is so hard. So what I will do, I will wait for 2 more years. Time. I have not found time yet. I will find time. Time will come. I will find time. But I know for sure that I will do this thing. But I will find time for it. Do you have guarantee for tomorrow? Do we have a thought that will live beyond tomorrow? Can you be certain of living beyond tomorrow? I can be. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says, why it is there, we should do the work of God. When I find time. Some fathers put off leadership role in their homes. They pull off disciplining their children. They pull off training their children, bringing them in the service of the Lord. So when they find time. Some wives may pull off, you know, submission to their own husband. You say, well, he's a man, I'm also a man. Two men cannot occupy the house. One has to be a man, one has to be a woman. Oh yeah, when I find time, then, you know, I will submit myself to my husband. Some men say, well, I will postpone my service and to my love for my wife. When I find time, I will begin to love her. When I find time. But I will put that off for now. We pull off a lot of things in this world we live. When I find time. Some will say, well, I'm too busy for church activities. If you do, you have the time. If I give in a little bit of task to do, I cannot undertake that because I don't have the time to prepare myself for that. Because I don't have the time. When I find time, I will do it. The church may put off loving and caring for people around them. They say, well, it's not your time to go out there and preach the gospel. It's not your time to go out there and do good to somebody. It's not your time there to go out there and care for somebody. It's not your time to go out and, you know, do some social work out there. Oh, we are a small congregation. We don't have the money. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have the strength. But we will find time in the future. Then we'll do this and we'll do that. The question is, when will we find time? When will we find time? When Paul preached the gospel before Governor Felix, that's the only opportunity he had. The Bible does not say in any place that Felix ever had a second opportunity. Praise the Lord. He did not have a second opportunity. He told Paul, when I found time. But in my thinking, I don't think he ever found that time. So while you still have life in you, while I still have life in me, we all breathe the breath of life. This is the time to make the best use of the opportunity that we have now, because we have no guarantee for even a second of our lives. When I find time. In our days, it seems like everyone is saying, when I find time. It seems like all of us, we are saying, when I find time. Even Christians, sometimes it bothers my mind. You know, I say, are Christians really serious people? I mean, sometimes I ask myself, are Christians really, really, really serious people? Because I look at the Muslims, man. These guys go and bomb around. I mean, we hear about the Muslims, right? I mean, they go across seas, oceans, to fulfill their mission. They use every opportunity to further their Quranic belief, their belief in Muhammad. I'm not saying this to say that what they preach or what they teach is right, but they are committed to what they do. Hallelujah. Are Christians really serious people? Brethren, we need to take the work of the Lord seriously. I know we are tired by time, we are tired by our jobs, we are tired by our works, we are tired by a lot of things. But let's look at the devotion of the Islam religion, the devotion of the Muslims, and say, yes, we Church of Christ, through the grace of God, will hold the truth. Let us champion this truth so that those who have not heard it will hear it. Praise the Lord. When I find time. Do we have the time? We need to make the time if it is not available. The only time we have is today, is now. Is this moment, is this second that I'm speaking to you? That's the only time we have. That's the only time we have. I could speak to you today, tomorrow, and maybe no more. We may carry one son and say, well, Alfonso is, God called him home. Or it could be anybody in this audience. We need to make time, brethren. Felix had the same excuse. The devil has a clever way of telling us that we don't need to hurry. The devil will always put that in our mind, Satan. You know, you don't need to hurry, you know, to serve the Lord. You don't need to hurry to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You don't need to hurry, you know, to attend worship. You don't need to hurry to do a lot of things. Satan plants that in our mind. And say we don't need to hurry. We take our own time. Hallelujah. In our passage of consideration here, Acts chapter 24, verses 24 to 27, it concerns a guy called Felix, the Roman governor, and his wife Drusilla. The name Felix means happy. H-A-P-P-Y. I don't know whether he was a happy man, but that's the meaning of his name, happy. Probably he was a very happy guy. Or maybe your parents knew in days ago he would be a happy guy. So Felix, Mr. Happy, after his trouble, returned with his wife Drusilla, as I said in the opening introduction, and then he wanted to hear from Paul. Now Felix was married to a woman called Drusilla. Felix was living in adultery. This was his third wife. In adultery. But then he called Paul to hear the gospel. I don't know for that purpose. And Paul delivered to him the whole counsel of God. He had to even drive Paul and say, go your way. When I find time, I will call you so I can hear this more. So he desired to hear Paul. But let's go through a little bit and see what happened. One writer calls, what's his name, Felix, a wicked, cruel, or covetous man. That's how a certain writer described him. And very compromising too. So he sent for Paul. Paul could have impressed Felix. I mean, the guy was knowledgeable. Paul was an educated guy. Paul could have impressed Felix with his great wisdom. With his he was well learned. He was impressive. So I'm a great speaker. I know this. I know Greek philosophy. I know all this. He was impressive with intellectual wisdom, but Paul did not. Paul decided to present to him Jesus Christ, and then Paul reasoned with this guy on three things that I want us to dwell on this morning. He dwell on three things: righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. This is what Paul preached. Paul did not care whether Felix was the governor of that area.
He did not care whether Felix was a president. He did not care whether Felix was king. He needed to know the truth of the will of God. And so Paul reasoned to him from the scriptures on righteousness to he and his wife. He and his wife are in an adulterous relationship. The marriage is not even, it's not proper in the first place. And so to a couple who was living in sin, in sexual sin, Paul preached on righteousness. So you got to set your life straight, Felix and Drusilla. And so he told him, you got to set your life straight. You got to do away with injustice. You got to do away with bribe, because Felix is a guy who took bribes. There are a lot of things Felix had to get rid of to be a righteous man. As corrupt as they were, he and his wife, Paul told them, regardless of your prestige in life, your height in society, your place, you have to live a righteous life. You got to do away with all these corrupt practices, Felix. I believe Paul had what the Apostle Peter said in the 2 Peter 3, 9 in mind. God is patient, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. He had that in mind. So you reason about righteousness, and then Felix kept paying attention. He wanted to hear more. So from righteousness, the Apostle Paul turned to self-control. Say, Felix, you got to take control of your emotions. Not only you should be righteous, your righteousness leads to by being self-control, controlling your very selves, you and your wives. He needed self-control. Look at the guy who had three wives. Somebody who has self-control would not have three wives. So he needed a heavy dose of self-control. So Paul said, out of the righteousness of Felix, you need self-control, you and your wife Drusilla. In Galatians 5 verse 23, self-control is one of those things mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. To control ourselves, to be able to, say no to sin. Paul preached that one. This was a dangerous message. This was a dangerous message to a couple who was living in sin, especially in sexual sin. But Paul did not care for the repercussion. What are the governor was saying, killed him or put him in jail. You are already in jail. Order his execution, he did not care. But he said, Mr. Felix, Mr. Happy, in order to be happier, I don't know whether you're even happy in the first place, you need self-control. You need to control yourself. He told him the truth. He did not beat around the bush. He told him the truth. In our days, there are a lot of preachers who do not like to tell the truth. We got preachers in the world today that they don't care to tell the truth. They care to preach a social gospel, a gospel that will make the congregation feel happy. Look. Church is not about us feeling happy. I will say that. Church is not about me feeling happy. Hallelujah. Church is not about you feeling happy. Church is about God feeling happy. Hallelujah. God has to what? We feel happy about worship. But people feel that when they go to church, the first gospels are preached. And they dance and roll over the floor and they are happy. So the worship was really happy there. Because I listened to, I heard some wonderful music. And then when the preacher is preaching something that they like, it's only a sound preaching. Say, preacher, pastor, sound preaching.
Because the minister, the pastor is preaching something like that one that will make them feel happy. Church of Christ, our goal is to make God feel happy in ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. God should agree to our worship and feel happy and say, oh yes, well done, my good and faithful servant. It is about pleasing God, not pleasing me or pleasing you. So Paul declared the counsel of God on self-control. Probably was not enough for Felix and Drusilla. Maybe he wanted to hear more. Probably the mind of Paul said, well, Paul preached on Russia. Said, I think this guy, probably he will say, oh, what must I do to be saved? Maybe you ask me. Well, Paul preached to God, they're not making a move. He said, what? He turned to self-control and preached on self-control, that this guy is living in sin, living with a woman that, you know, he shouldn't be living with. He told somebody else's wife to become his wife. Probably Paul told him, he said, well, this guy will, you know, he will give his life to Jesus Christ in baptism. And Felix might say, well, Paul, you go on. I'm not ready yet. He said, preach him, Paul. I'm not ready. And then Paul had to turn to the judgment to come. He said, no. Probably in Paul's mind, he said, well, when I turn to the judgment to come, surely, Felix will turn his life to Jesus Christ. Because the judgment is frightening. When he hears about the gospel, I mean, when he hears about the judgment, the coming judgment, I think he may turn his life to Jesus and be baptized. Probably in Felix's mind, you will say, well, Paul, you go along, but I got my own plan. We all got our own plans, right? Didn't we plan to come here this morning? We all had our plans to come here this morning. Some of us are going to work tomorrow, isn't it so? If we don't go to work tomorrow, a genuine excuse, what happens? We get. You got it? We don't want anything over. We get fired. You see? So we got to prepare ourselves. Yes. We got to prepare ourselves. So, he preached on sin. Paul preached on sin. There are preachers, as I said, they don't let the preacher sin. Because they don't want to make somebody feel bad. Somebody feel remorseful. Somebody to feel sad. So all the times the gospel of happiness. Yeah, they preach the gospel of prosperity. Oh, how you get rich. How you get this money. How your business will prosper. How you will do this. How when you believe in Jesus Christ, no trouble will stop and pass on the doors. That's not what the Bible promises. The Bible promises in a hard time when we accept Christ. But there are great rewards in the days to come. Hallelujah. But so-called preachers, they don't preach on sin. But Paul was very bold in preaching sin. He did not care about the status of Felix or Drusilla. He preached on their immoral life, their sin, so that they could make a U-turn. When I found time. Have we found time for the Lord? Are we using our time wisely for His service? Are we still giving petty excuses? You know, I don't have the time. I will do it next year, year after next. But then 5 years passes by when I find time. 5 years passes by and we are not found time yet. And then it goes to 10 years and we are not found time yet to do that thing. And then 15, 20, 25 years and we are not found time yet. When then will we find time? The time to find is now. It's the only time we have. Felix, he did not find time. So after preaching on righteousness and self-control, according to our text, Paul then turned to the judgment to come. Paul decided to preach on the judgment. How there will be eternal punishment for the unbeliever. I believe he mentioned earlier down the judgment. How, you know, eternal separation of God from God. There will be eternal suffering. He preached all of this into Felix and Drusilla. And the Bible says that he was still speaking as he was concluding his message. What happened? Felix began to tremble. Hallelujah. He was terrified. He was extremely terrified. Why? Because the judgment put fear in him. He said, you mean I will live in eternity separated from the Lord forever and ever in the lake of fire? I believe those things are the things that terrified the God, man. And then when he trembled, probably Paul thought that God was willing not to give his life to Jesus. But then little stubborn that came in his mind. Hallelujah. Sometimes God is pushing, oh, give your life to the Lord. Be baptized, so there's a time to be baptized. But then you want to move. As you want to get up from your pew, something is pulling you back. As you want to get up on the sitting, oh, sit down, you still have more time. There is no hurry for this thing. Oh, you got 5 more years, man. You can do it in 10 years. Don't hurry. Then the spirit of God that was convicting you has been replaced with the spirit of the devil, the spirit of demon. And they say you are trying to get up to go and submit your life to Jesus. He decided again to sit right down the pew. He said, well, when I find time. The question is, when will you find time? If you are visiting the world this morning, when will you find time to give this life of yours to Jesus Christ? Knowing that there is no guarantee for tomorrow. Knowing that today is the only day we have. Now is the only time we have. When will you find time? Felix did not find time for the Lord. He was lost forever. You have the time now to surrender your life. You have the time now. You have the time now. The time is now. So Paul reasoned, preached to he and his wife concerning the judgment to come. And then we are told Felix trembled. He was terrified with fear of the judgment. And then I noticed something in the text. Drusilla did not tremble. Well, she lost interest in the message. Wasn't the message powerful enough to convert her? Man, if trembling was a way to salvation, I can assure you the whole world would be saved. It just by trembling, say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ. The whole world will have salvation. If it's not about trembling, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, just trembling, Satan and his demons will be saved, according to James 2:19. They tremble before God with fear. But that was a fear of conversion. That fear does not move them forward to repent. Felix trembled. He trembled. He trembled, but he would tremble his judgment. He was on his throne. He trembled on his throne. The Bible does not tell me that he got up from his throne and he stood up. No, he did not stand. He sat there and he trembled. He did not make any move. God wants you to tremble. The Lord wants you to tremble. But the Lord wants you to tremble and get up and walk and step forward. Hallelujah. Not just trembling. Trembling is not enough. Trembling cannot take us there. Felix trembled. Drusilla did not tremble. She did not care. She was a don't care wife. But Felix trembled. But his trembling did not bring him to faith in Jesus Christ. He thought about his wife. Maybe he said, well, I cannot afford to lose my wife. Because if I accept this thing that Paul is telling me, I will have to divorce this woman. In the first place, she's not my wife. If I accept this gospel, maybe I won't be the governor of this place anymore. I will lose my prestige. I will lose all that I have. I will lose my friends. And so he trembled, but he did not give his life. Maybe in his mind he was thinking about all these things.
influence, prestige, money, wealth, and all these things. So Felix said, well, go and come another time when I find time. But for now, I cannot take this message. I can't take it. Felix trembled. Do we tremble sometimes and don't make a move? Have you been trembling many times in this church and don't make a move? Especially when you are not giving your life to Jesus Christ through true baptism. Have you trembled over and over? Messages I've been giving you over and over. From Ron, from me, from other brethren that I appreciate. You've been trembling in the back, and say, I want to go forward and give my life, but then they say, keep putting you back down. Have you been trembling? If you are trembling, it's a very, very good thing. Let your trembling move you to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Felix trembled. There were things he did not want to leave. Sometimes you will tremble. But there are things, there are ties that you don't want to leave this world. I mean, this world is sweet. Isn't the world sweet? I mean, there's a sweet world, right? Who has seen ice cream before? All of us have tasted ice cream, isn't so? Is ice cream sweet or bitter? Very sweet. I mean, you know, the taste of it, you just want to eat it all day. So Felix has some ties. He has some very good friends. He has a huge prestige. He had a good job. He's a governor. He could not forsake these things for the mere gospel. In his mind, the mere gospel of Jesus Christ, could not forsake these things. Brethren, some of us may still be holding on to certain things. There are things that some of us may be still holding on to, as Felix held and his disciples held on to certain things. Some things we still holding on to that we don't want to let go. Unless we let go, God cannot bless us. Hallelujah. Unless we let go of that grudge. Maybe there's a certain grudge against certain person that hurt you. But Brother Marcus, when he taught a very beautiful lesson. He said, what happens? What are you supposed to do as a Christian when somebody hurts you? Then he read the passage of forgiveness. That's the only medicine. Are you still holding to that envy? To that jealousy against that person? Are you still hiding from your husband or your wife? Maybe a phone call comes and then you go away in the corner. Yeah, hello? Why? Are you still doing things in secrecy? You need to let go. There were things that were holding Felix, things that were holding Drusilla. They could not let go. And so they did not what? Except Jesus Christ. As Christians, there are things we need to let go in our lives. If our Christian lives will improve. Hallelujah. We need to let go. Let it go. Let it go. So he did not let go. And so for the rest of his life, he did not have another opportunity. Opportunity was denied. And denied forever. Was denied. And he cried to Paul, go away from me. It's like, I'm driving you. You go away. Go, Paul, when I find an opportune time, I will call you again. The time did not come. The time did not come. When I find time, brethren, we need to make time. No matter how hard the problems may be, how tough life may be, we need to make time for the service of the Lord. Very, very important. We need to make time. We need to make time. The actual problem here is it's not finding time. Finding time is not the problem here. Our concern is not finding time. The truth of this battle is, is that time. Time finds us. We don't find time, it finds us. We are surrounded by time. We are surrounded by time 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. 365 days a year. We have all that time surrounding us. The problem with us is what? Apportioning the time. Hallelujah. We have to apportion the time for each of these tasks here. But, for time to time, we have time. We got time for almost everything that we do in life. We got time for the cell phone we call. We got time for our computers. We got time to watch TV. We got time to watch Disney Channel. We got time to watch wrestling. We got time to watch basketball. We got time for hockey. We got time for all the sports that you can think about. Hallelujah. So the problem is not time. The problem is our portioning. Distributing the time. And we need to distribute some for God. So if you are here this morning, brethren, especially those of you, if you are visiting us, and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, today is the best time. Don't tell yourself in the Bible when I find time. You may not find another time. Today, right now, this hour, this moment, this second is the time. So as we stand to sing our song of invitation, if you want to turn your life to Jesus, if you are not giving your life, don't care about what somebody will tell you. Don't be ashamed. The greatest shame is to end up in hell. You can give your life to Jesus Christ now. Felix will not do it. Drusilla will not do it because of their prestige, their high rank there in society. But if you are here this morning and have not given your life, I believe you can do it. If you apportion the time. So may God bless us and keep us as we strive to do His will. Brethren, I want to leave with us that God never promises that this race will be easy. The Christian race is a tough one. But one thing He promised, say, I will always be with you. Hallelujah. We cannot run it by ourselves. Let us not think for one second that we have the strength to run this race. It's not us. It's God through His Son and through His Holy Spirit. May God bless us and keep us. Come as we sing our song of encouragement. If you need prayer for the Lord's will, if you need prayer for strength, prayer for whatever you want in your life, you want God to help you, if you want to give your life to the Lord, well, this is the time. It's open here. And the Lord's His arms are ever open to accept you. Thank you, and may God bless you. Let's stand.